for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is one of two of the Saturday afternoon service of November the 25th, 1989, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn and Irma Miller are the speakers of the afternoon.
Well, this afternoon, Irma and I are going to speak something. I'm going to stand still here. I'm not going to run around, so I just use this. It'll work fine. And I probably won't talk as long this afternoon as I do sometimes. Sometimes Irma says I don't leave her any time to talk. So this afternoon, I won't promise, but I'm trying to say that I'll be a little shorter than most of the time. And we've been hearing through the whole services, each service, kind of what I'm going to talk about also today. And it really is, the theme really, in a way, is the prize of the high calling.
Amen.
That's what we're looking for, the prize of the high calling.
Amen.
And over in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 9, in verse 24, it says, "Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize?" So what are we to do? We're to run so that we may receive that prize. It says we're running in a race, and everybody is to run to win in that race.
Amen.
You're not to think that somebody else is going to outrun you. You're to run and fulfill the calling that you have and be faithful to it. And run your part of the race.
Amen.
That's all that's required of us, is to run my part, and you run your part, and when we do, everybody's going to finish together.
Amen.
Now, that is a phenomenon, but it's still a fact in God's economy.
Amen.
That if we're faithful and we run the race, we will all finish together. If we're faithful. Now, there will be many. In fact, there will be multitudes of Christians that will not be faithful,
right,
and they will not win the prize.
Right.
And those who think that they will, just because they accept the Lord Jesus, are badly mistaken, and they're not rightly dividing the Scripture.
Right.
Because the Scripture says salvation is free, baptism of the Holy Spirit, Spirit is free, water baptism we take. But after that, you have to labor in the kingdom. You have to labor in the vineyard. You get pruned and cut back, and the brush gets burnt, and the weeds get burnt around you, and you come through the fire and the hail and the cold and the snow, but you labor in the vineyard, and it's not just something to pussyfoot around about. The Lord asks that we work. And Rod showed us this morning that God is a God of war. And over in Revelation chapter 6, I'll read the same verse that he read this morning. On Labor Day, I spoke on Sunday morning on God is a God of War. And I've got to get busy and work on that. I'm going to make a little booklet out of that. God is a God of War. But the way most Christian people think about it, that they think it's a playhouse. Revelation 6 and 2 says, and there's many, many scriptures, just because Rod used this morning, I'm just marked it and using it over, but there are many scriptures. And there he says, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and what did he do? He went forth to conquer and to conquer." Now that, he went forth to fight and to do battle. To conquer and then conquer. He was not a pussyfooting around about it. He was out to win. He went to conquer. And God is a God of war. And we need to understand that. And he says that we are also his battle axe. Yep. That you and me are his battle axe that he uses for his warfare. And we need to learn how to be a battle axe. We need to learn and realize that we're in a war and we're supposed to win. And we will if we put a determination in our hearts that we're going to win. You may not, but if you determine you're going to win, you may not think you're winning, but if you determine you're going to win, we'll win. You'll win. I'll win. And then the Lord wants us to have that determination. You know, we're supposed to be at war, and we are in a battle, and you and I need to learn how to take care and know our equipment. We've got equipment for battle, but we're taught very little about how to use that equipment. How to use the sword of the Spirit, it is written. How to use the authority that's given to us in the name of Jesus. How to use the power of the blood of Jesus. How to use the power of the scars and stripes of the whipping post. How to use these things that are instruments of battle that's given to us to use. And we need to, each one of us that needs to study for ourselves and to learn these areas that we have that we can use in the battle when the battle comes. And we're all called to use them. Not just me and Reggie or Irma or somebody or the Moody's or somebody else. Every one of us is called to the battle. And we are all to fight a good faith, a good fight of faith. Everyone, not just part of us. We're to all do it. And there's a little thing that I like to use. We used to sing it around. We've got it someplace. Maybe it's on here. We've got so many courses on there that we've sang in the past, and some of them we sing yet. We sing from time to time, but we're on a battlefield. We're on a battlefield, but most of us act like we're in a recreation hall. That's the truth. Instead of being on a battlefield, we act like we're somewhere playing a game of tennis or something, or badminton or something. That's our attitude. And the Lord's not going to put up with it. That's right. He's going to cull his sheep and take the goats out.
That's right.
And he's in the process of doing it now.
That's right.
Of culling out. And those who will be faithful, that he can depend upon, he will entrust us and you and me. He will entrust us with the authority and power of his word. But the reason we don't see things today as we would like to see is because he has to have somebody he can trust before he gives that dominion to us. Because if we can't be trusted with it, then we would become foolish and be a mockery to the kingdom because of our foolishness. But you and I need to learn to be able to be trusted with the word of the Lord. And to be able to use it for the glory of God. Brother Rod Johnson taught us this morning that the word overcomer means that we have to or we have had to endure something. Overcomer, you either have had to endure something or you will have to endure something. Or it may be both. You may already have endured and you still will have to endure. And that's probably the way it is, really. Yeah, that you have already endured, and you will yet have to endure. And that's what he taught us this morning. So it means that we have to overcome something. We have to be an overcomer, and I want to be one of those overcomers. My goal is to be an overcomer. My goal is to be a deliverer for the Lord and to be delivered as well. Both. To be a deliverer and to be delivered. And in doing that, I will also become an overcomer. I will become an overcomer. Now, You must learn how to be a deliverer, and part of that delivering is to be an intercessor. So if you learn to be an intercessor, you will also become a deliverer. Or if you become a deliverer, you will want to be an intercessor. One is part of the other, and the other is part of the other. They two go together. And as we do. Now, over in Ezekiel chapter 9, I'm going to read that to us. Ezekiel 9, because it tells us here what God is concerned with, and it helps us to understand what the Lord requires of us, and then what the Lord says will happen if we do this. In chapter 9 of Ezekiel, it says, He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, Cause them that have charge over the church to draw near, even every man with a destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men, the number of man, six came from the way of the higher gate which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. They were ready to do battle. They had a sword or a slaughter weapon, an axe or something. They had a slaughter weapon in their hand. They were ready for battle. But one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's ink on by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar, the place of judgment. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's ink on by his side. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, or the church, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men, women, boys, and girls, that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. So what are we to do? The church is to sigh and cry for the abominations that's in the church. God is looking for somebody that will do that. Because he said here to go to the church and then to look for those in the church that were sighing and crying for the abominations. And what was he said to do with them? He said to mark them. And to the others, he said in mine hearing, Go ye after him through the city. Smite, let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay both utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. Everybody, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And he said, where's all this take place? Begin at my sanctuary. Begin at the house of the Lord. And then they began it with the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, Defile the house, fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth, and they went forth and slew in the city, or in the church. And it came to pass, while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, Ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? And then said he unto me, The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great. I can't pass by that without making a remark that Israel and Judah are not the same. And the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, The Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, for I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. Where does that leave the church? That leaves the church with only those that are sighing and crying for the abominations that are in the household of faith. The rest, God says, destroy them. But to those who are sighing and crying for the abominations, God says, put a mark on their forehead. And then he says, to those that are marked, just as the children of Israel down in Egypt, when they were down there, when the death angel passed over, there was no death. Here he says, mark them in their forehead. When the tribulation comes by, you'll survive.
That's right.
Don't ask me how. That's God's business. God just says you'll survive when the tribulation comes. So it's going to pay to be an intercessor and a deliverer. Because if you're a deliverer, you're an intercessor. And if you're an intercessor, you'll also be a deliverer. Oh, you may not have big, like Reggie or Irma and I or something, but you Have those that will come to your house, those come from your prayer group, those that the Lord will give you the opportunity to pray and work and deal with and bring deliverance to their lives. Besides, there will be lots more deliverance in the prayer groups and in that way in your homes than there ever will be here like this, because you will contact and be in the presence of hundreds of more people than we have that come here to a meeting. But you go home and be that. With the help of the Lord, you be that. You don't be that by saying, "Oh, I can do it." No, the Lord help me do that. No, if you get the big head that you can go do it, the devil will laugh at you. He'll laugh at you. Only the authority of the name of Jesus and His blood will you have success. And then in humility unto the Lord. So we find here that the Lord says, He's looking for somebody to be an intercessor. And so those who become intercessors, God says that there's a reward for the intercessor, to those who run the race for the prize of the high calling. So let's look. My purpose here is to look at some of the prizes that are given to those that seek after the Lord. And I thought this morning, every time Rod read another scripture, I thought he was going to read my scriptures that I had for this afternoon. And he went all around them. He sure did. And I used his scripture there out of Revelation 6 to start with here. But let's go over to Revelation chapter 2. And I want to show you what God says He has for those who seek to follow after Him with all their heart. God calls them the overcomer. You can call them the Eagle Company. You can call them the elect. You can call them what you want. Those phrases appear in here too. But in these places, they're called the overcomer. So let's look in Revelation chapter 2, and we will look at these 8 promises that God gives to the overcomer. Verse 7 says, "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Now, I do not believe that we can be a complete overcomer without deliverance. I believe that deliverance is part of that overcoming. Amen. I do not believe that it is possible for us to obtain unto that place without deliverance and help from others as well. The more we study and the more we hear and the more we understand, the more I see that every one of us is bound by our own sins, the traditions of the elders. The tradition of the elders is a horrible bondage because it keeps us from believing some of the Word of God, because our mind is twisted to our tradition. And even though we read it and look at it and see it maybe a dozen times, we still cannot accept it because of the tradition of the elders. Now, I'll tell you I had 2 great traditions that I was born, well, not quite born. My folks got saved when I was about a year and a half old, so almost born with. But I was taught it ever since I can remember. And one thing they taught without saying so much was that no Christian could have a demon. And I refused to accept that until God gave me an on-hands illustration. And most of the things that the Lord has shown us, now others come along, Reggie comes along, and he's teaching and understands about the ancestral curses. But the Lord showed us that by a sovereign act of something that happened. And that's how we came into the understanding of it. I don't know how Reggie came to the understanding of it, but that's where we understood it, by something that happened. So the way I came to the understanding that Christians could have demons was by a demon talking out of a man that I knew was saved and had the Holy Ghost. I knew he had the Holy Ghost. And that demon talked out of him. And my tradition had told me for 45 years that wasn't possible. But the moment it happened, I knew I was in error. I had no more, I didn't have one qualm. Just that quick, I knew my tradition was wrong. And it didn't, I flipped. The other thing that we've always been taught, and still is being taught, and some of you here probably are still of that persuasion, is the rapture. I believed in that because I was taught it, and there was nobody could argue me out of it until one day Irma, and I had read Matthew 24 and 25 and other scriptures. I had read them many times, but I was blind by my tradition. And one day Irma was reading it while I was working on tapes. I was in the living room in our home in California, and I was working on tapes, and she was reading the Bible out loud there by me. And she read where it says that except these days be shortened, for the very elect's sake, there would be no flesh left. How could there? And when she read that, it registered with her, not with me. It registered. And she said, "Did you hear what I read?" And I said, "No." She read it again. I said, "What Bible are you reading out of?" That was my first question to her. She said, "My Scofield Bible." "My good Scofield Bible," she said. "My good one." I said, "I don't believe it says that." That's just what I said to her. And I stopped I shut my machine, whatever I was doing, I stopped, and I went and got my Bible, which was also a Scofield Bible, which I had had ever since I went to Bible school. And I went and got it, and I opened it up, and I read it, and it said exactly the same word for word, because it was the same Bible, that she had read. And I said, "Oh, don't say anything about this." I said, "Don't mention this to anybody." I said, Nobody will believe that. So don't you say anything about it. Well, that's where we begin to come to an understanding about, and that was a tradition of the elders, and it still is. And maybe to some of you that's sitting here today. And I'll let you and the Lord and the scriptures sort that out. But as I see and as I look at the scriptures here about the overcomers and the scriptures about the intercessors, and the scriptures, and in the Psalms, and all through the scripture, where David writes, and where they all write, and they say, "The wicked shall be taken away, and the righteous shall be left." Well, if that is true, then either that's true or it's false. And if it's true, then the rapture is not as we've been taught. And Jesus said, "Except these days be shortened." What days? The days of the great tribulation. Be shortened, there would be, for the elect's sake. And who are the elect? They are the overcomers. That's the overcomers. And they're here during that time. Well, anyway. Oh, yeah, Colonel Speed Wilson, his new book that he just came out about 2 months or so ago, has all the scriptures, pro and con, on this subject. All the scriptures, pro, and all the scriptures, con. That he's got them there, several hundred of them in the book. And he very expertly carries out each one of them. The Lord has given him a great understanding. Years and years ago, God gave him this understanding. And he's been teaching this all over the nation for many years. Colonel Speed Wilson. He's been here many times. Colonel Speed Wilson and Brother Jack Harris, who just went home a little bit ago, are the two most decorated living men of World War II in America today. Colonel Speed Wilson and Jack Harris. Jack Harris was in charge of a paratroop company that went behind the lines at least three times, behind the German lines with his troopers. And each time he had a company of about 250 men, and I think the last time they went back, only six of them ever came out. And they carried him out. The medics refused to pick Jack up and bring him, and they said, "He'll never live till we even get him to the medical center." And his men said, "Jack goes or we don't go." So.
play turkey. But see, Jack had a praying grandmother, great-grandmother, a heritage of God. And God had a destiny for that man, which isn't fulfilled yet. And God saw that he lived. For 6 months, his family thought he was dead, that he had died in the lines, and he was listed as missing in action. And all the time he was listed as missing in action, he was in a hospital in England recuperating. And they got his files all crossed up and didn't realize that they had notified his folks that he was missing in action. But God raised him up. You can't tell by looking at him, but his left arm and his left leg was completely, they were going to take it off. He refused to allow them to, and God restored him. Well, the goodness of the Lord. Amen, amen. And the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living unto us, if we're faithful. Well, let's look at here what we're going to look at. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. And I've read there out of that. It says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So we're back to the tree of life, the tree that Adam and Eve were forbidden to eat of at that time. Now, here, God says he's going to give it to us. Verse 11 says, he that hath a hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt in the second death. Amen. There's eternity. Verse 17 says, again to the churches, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saveth he that receiveth it. So the Lord says we're going to have a new name, and he's going to give us food to eat, the manna of heaven. Verse 25 says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. So to the overcomer that endures unto the end will rule and reign with Jesus over the nations. And in chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, for he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father. So he says that to the overcomer, going to be clothed in white raiment. And verse 12 says, to him that overcometh will I make a pillar. We sing that as a chorus. I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So the Lord says that we'll be a pillar in the house of faith, and he will write upon us his new name. Verse 21 says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also have overcome and am sit down with my Father in his throne. So the Lord says that to the overcomer we shall sit down with Jesus. That means by sitting with him in the throne that we will participate in the ruling and reigning over the nations and over the earth and over the universe. I believe that includes the universe. That's my thought anyway. So here we have in the second and third chapters of Revelation, we have seven promises to the overcomer. There is yet one more in Revelation 21. There are eight promises to the overcomer. And this is the greatest promise of all, in my opinion. Chapter 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Hallelujah. Talk about sonship. That is sonship personified. Hallelujah. To him that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Amen. Let's go back over. Hold your finger right there so you can get back quick. But let's go over to Philippians chapter 3. And we will read again similar to what we read out of 1 Corinthians here in Philippians 3. And verse 14, Paul says, I press toward the mark. When you
when you're wrestling and you're trying to press your opponent to the floor, that's work. It's labor. You have to work to press him, to get him down. And Paul says, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that is what we need to make our goal, that we press towards that mark, that prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And as we walk that route and go that way, we will find that deliverance has to be part of the curriculum. It has to be part of it, because there's no other way that we can be free from the bondages that we're under because of the satanic oppression and the satanic powers that follow us, or the ancestral curses, or the familiar spirit of our ancestral line that comes down the line about us. You say he's a chip off the old block. He's an alcoholic. His granddad was an alcoholic. He's got a bad temper. He's a chip. Hey, all he's got's a familiar spirit that's following the family line. And you get rid of the familiar spirit and bind it up and cast it out, the person will be delivered of whatever that trait is. If they want to deliverance, and if they stay delivered, you know, you can go back to anything. You can be like a hog and go back and wallow in the mud anytime you want to. God don't keep you from it. God's not going to keep you. You have to determine that you're going to follow the Lord. Doc was teaching here this afternoon about some of the abominations, witchcraft and sorcery and all that. It's abomination to God. There are a lot of things in the Scriptures that's abominations to God. But our tradition has taught us that a lot of them we don't have to pay attention to, because tradition has said that this Scripture, that Scripture nullifies God's Word, and so God says it's abomination forever. But here's a Scripture over here that says it something else, and so God's abomination forever don't count anymore. I can't agree to that. If God says it's an abomination to me forever, it is forever. If he says his blessing is to 1,000 generations, it's to 1,000 generations of those that love me and keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. That's the prerequisite for it. Well, Paul said there that he was running the race for the prize. Let's go back now. Turn back over here to Revelations, and I'll be finished with this. 22, and here's yet another promise in here. If we can take it as a promise. It says, and he showed me a pure river of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. Hallelujah. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Amen. Lord, I thank you I'm a servant. Amen. I want to serve you. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and we will not need a candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth us light, and we shall reign forever and ever. Amen. I like my translation a little bit. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. And we're down at the time when they're are being done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. This book. This is the book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. And then he said unto me, see, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and thy brethren of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecies of this book, for the time is at hand. What does it say? He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do my commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the spirits and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things said, surely, I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I have two Bibles. I have my old Bible that I know where everything is. And I have this new one I'm trying to break in because this is pretty repulsive looking. I've torn it too many times. Praise the Lord. I love the Spirit of the Lord that's in here this afternoon.
Amen.
I have enjoyed this camp meeting. It hasn't been as large as usual, but it's been quality. I really think it has been quality. That sermon this morning was outstanding, Ron. Rod, don't get any pride feeling. That was the Holy Ghost. I love the Holy Ghost, don't you? And the fire. I like the fire. I love to feel it blaze in me. A while ago, I was sitting there doing a song service, and I felt the Holy Spirit just blazing up in me. And I was about ready to prophesy, and then I didn't. But 2 weeks ago, Friday, we had more obstacles. We were going to a convention in Dallas. We sort of decided to go pretty quick. We had all kinds of obstacles that morning. We were going to leave at 10. Then we was going to leave at 12. We had all kinds of company coming in here. And I hadn't even packed a suitcase. And I ran over to pack. And a prophet and his wife come in that wanted to meet us. And we wanted to meet them. But we had heard about them. We didn't know them. And so I just threw everything in the suitcase in 5 minutes. And I ran over here. And then we finally left about 1 or 1:30. So we missed the afternoon service. And the night service was fine. I was trying, you know, you come in all disheveled into a meeting and you don't maybe get too much out of it. I don't really remember too much about that first night's meeting. But the next day, during the song service, you know, when we begin to praise the Lord, that's when the anointing begins and God begins to inhabit our praises. When he inhabits our praises, that means something. And we should think on those words, inhabit our praises, his presence. I want to feel his presence, the presence of the Lord. And I was sitting there, and Bill Goodson was singing, and it was so anointed. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke a word to me. He speaks to me sometimes, and I don't know what he's talking about. I have to go start looking up things, and I really don't have this total lesson finalized, but I just felt to bring it. I wasn't planning on speaking. I would get out of it if I could, but some way Glenn told me it's what we were to do this afternoon. The word he spoke to me was barnacle. He said, my people are laden down with barnacles. I thought, barnacles? What is a barnacle? I was trying to think. I knew it had something to do with a ship. And then he gave me a scripture. And I was just sitting there in the spirit, and Bill was singing away, and I was just meditating on the word barnacle. How many sailors here that knows a lot about barnacles? There's a few. They're really living creatures, aren't they? They get on the bottom of the boat. Are they alive organisms or something?
Parasites.
And the Lord said, my people are covered with barnacles. I thought, well, I don't know really what that means, Lord. And I sat there, and the more you meditate, he keeps feeding you. So he said, turn to Hebrews 12 and 1, and I will show you. So I was running through my Bible, you know, and thinking and looking, and Bill was singing away, and the anointing was just coming down. It was a very small crowd. There wasn't any more people than just one side. Hey, let's read what this says. I read it and I reread it and I reread it. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and we've been hearing that all week, the just men made perfect are around us. There's all kinds of angels in here this afternoon. And I'll tell you a secret. I called for Michael and the holy angels. I asked Jesus, would you please send Michael in here and the holy angels this afternoon to war? You think that's all right?
Yes.
Ask and you shall receive. Ask largely. And I like for Michael to come around and his angels, his host, and you don't talk to angels, but you ask Jesus to send them. And I praise the Lord for angelic beings. And we're encircled with all kinds of, if we could only see out here in the heavenlies, there are seers in the spirit that can see out here. Now, I asked one minister that can see in the spirit like that, I said, why can't I see in the spirit? He said, because you wouldn't be able to handle it. I probably wouldn't. I'd probably either scream or who knows what. If you saw something coming at you that was awful. It says, let us lay aside every weight. See, that's where the barnacles are coming in.
That's right.
Every weight. And the sin which does so easily beset us. How many believe they've got sins that beset them? We've got sins we don't even know about. We do it all the time because we don't know any better. Until the Holy Spirit starts putting the B on us and we start thinking, oh, that's not right thinking. I shouldn't think those thoughts or I shouldn't be doing this. This is not right. So these are barnacles, they're weights, and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And I'm telling you, it takes patience in this race. We have to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to not look to the right or to the left. We get all kinds of obstacles. We get all kinds of things that the enemy would like to veer us off or make us do or cause us to be discouraged. Are you with me? Do you understand? You have those problems? But we... And you know, I've seen people so mesmerized with certain speakers that they were just, you know, out of it, just idolizing a speaker. And then if they die or something, their idol is gone. And we don't need to be doing that. We don't need to be idolizing certain speakers. Some people will say, I only listen to so-and-so. Listen, I have gone up here to this Baptist church and learned a lot.
That's right.
I have. If the Word of God is being taught or read, you can learn. A lot of people call me up and they say, we don't have any place to go to church. I said, well, go to the Baptist church then. Oh, I wouldn't think of that. I wouldn't think of that. Now, these good Baptists, see, they're not so bad. They're good Baptists. The Word of God is there. And if you want to find a place, there's so much in the body of Christ right now. Well, I don't go to church any place. They can't teach me nothing. I just stay home, read my Bible, and listen to tapes. That's erroneous, demonic thinking. Your mentality will get the best of you if you have that mentality. Because the Bible says what? Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And if you don't like what's going on in your church, why don't you pray about it? Why don't you bind the devil in there? Why don't you go down there and walk half the night round and round the church and in the church when nobody is there and break the strong man?
Right.
Pull him down off of there. You know, we're so namby-pamby Christians, we don't want to have to do anything like that because somebody might think we're crazy. Well, we might be, but it sure works. And I looked up in the dictionary what the barnacle said, but I wanted to look in the encyclopedias, but I didn't have time. It says, something that attaches itself or a thing hard to get rid of. That's the second meaning. Something hard to get rid of. How about that? A weight on it. And I wrote down, right while I was in that meeting, you know, have you ever preached between the lines with a preacher? You can sit back there and write down things. And during that meeting, I wrote down, my self-will is a barnacle. And sin, us be driven out from our personalities. A lot of people said, oh, I confessed my sin when I got saved. So did I, but repentance is not out of style yet. Still in style. And we need to do more repenting. We wouldn't have to have half so much deliverance if we repented more. And unforgiveness, that's been from the very first night, the vein running through. Sicknesses, if you didn't get the first night, if you weren't here, you need to get that tape. And I want to hear it about three times because it really tells, the Lord is allowing his servants to get secrets from the Holy Spirit and the Lord that's going to help. You know, if we had a healing line right now, I dare say that 98% of everybody would be walking up here in this healing line, and that is not kosher for the body of Christ to be sick. We need to walk in divine health, but we don't know how to walk in divine health yet. But we're pressing toward that mark. And the first night, he just taught me so much, and it was the Holy Spirit teaching us. And then when Rod talked the next day, you were on forgiveness again. Unforgiveness. We have to forgive. We have to forgive. We have to forget it then. We have to forget and not hold grudges and get the chip off of our shoulder. And it's so easy to just have one of these little besetting sins that spoils our whole walk with the Lord. And then there's hate. That's another barnacle. We really don't know how much hate we have in us. We hate certain churches, certain denominations. Look, the Lord has his people in every denomination. Some people hate this racetrack up here. Well, I don't like what they do, but there's a chaplain up there, and he ministers to all the people back in the barns. And one day he called out here and he ministers to the horse people and the grooms. And yeah, he's a spirit-filled chaplain. He follows the racetrack. And he called me one day and he said, could I speak to Reverend Miller? I said, well, he's out on the Caterpillar, but you can come on out and I'll take you over there. He was over on this side. So the man came out and he said, he told Glenn, he said, I have a problem. He said, we have a prayer group every Thursday night or whatever night it was, and he said, I was talking on the blood of Jesus, and a man stood right up, and it wasn't him talking out of him, and somebody told me that you understood about the devil talking out of people, and he said, I want to find out what to do. And so Glenn, we gathered him up some books, and we gave him some tapes, and you know, spirit-filled people, just because you have the Holy Spirit, boy, we were ignorant. We'd had the Holy Spirit for years, and we were ignorant about the devil and his devices. We need to learn about his wiles. Those are his strategies. He'll set you up every time if you don't. You got to watch all the time that he's not setting you up in a trap. And so Glenn went to the prayer meeting, and the very guy that was there, Glenn went in and sat down right beside him, that it caused the trouble the week before. He was just as calm as a lamb. See, the chaplain had broken the strong man, and that devil couldn't speak and couldn't cause any trouble. And you know, that's been, how many years ago? 3 years ago. And we were walking up to the mall the other night, and some fellow walked by and said, hi, Millers. And I said to Glenn, who is that? I don't know who that man is. And he turned around. He must have heard me. He was walking pretty fast. You know, cowboy boots and everything. He turned around and he looked at me and he said, you bought a desk or two for me. He was a lawyer here in town, and he had gone berserk over a case that he lost, and they had to put him away for a while, and his mother sold out all of his office equipment. We bought some of it. And then in the meantime, he's been grooming horses up here at the racetrack. And so he, you know.
Well, he's the guy.
Yeah, he was the guy. He was the guy. Praise the Lord. He looked pretty good. He was acting pretty good. At least he knew our name. Jealousy is another barnacle.
Yes.
ministers have a horrible time with being jealous of each other.
That's right.
It's terrible. And envy. Envy will just ruin you. It will really ruin you. I was telling the girls upstairs about a minister that we first met when we first was learning about deliverance, and I had had a terrible headache. I was in a hotel in Florida, and we'd driven from Los Angeles to take this meeting, and I had this terrible headache. Oh, it was just pounding. It started when I first entered the hotel. And I won't go into the whole gory details, but a minister that had prayed deliverance for us just before. Now, we were really just, we only knew about this much, about that much about it. And I was scared of the devil yet. And this minister told me, if you ever see a bat and a rat, remember Satan is close by you, start praying. So when we were unloading the car back in the freight elevator and taking up all the stuff, and the porter came down to take up our suitcases and stuff, and take me up to the room. Why, here's this rat. He come running across the ledge. It was a huge thing. And he sat right up on his hind legs like this and looked at me. And I got that headache. I got a headache right then. And it didn't go away. That was Thursday evening. I drank coffee and did everything you're supposed to do. I wouldn't take an aspirin because I'd been delivered from aspirins. I would not take an aspirin. I was bound determined I wasn't going to give in to that. And all day, all night, Thursday night, that head ached and pounded and hurt. And all day Friday and all day Saturday and all day Sunday. And the convention was starting Monday night. And I said to Glenn Monday morning, I can't even see. My head's hurting so bad. How can I set up that book table? Because you got to lean on over and unpack books. And I was just really distraught. But I'd remembered one sentence in a meeting at Clifton's Cafeteria on Saturday before we left, that a man said, I'm taking a deliverance man with me to Florida. And we drove all the way to Florida. And you know, I saw that man. And I went over to him and I said, where's the deliverance man you said you were going to bring down here? And he said, sitting over on the couch. I said, I got to be delivered. He said, well, go over there and tell him. So, I mean, the word deliverance wasn't hardly used in those days. It was about 1965, I think, or maybe 66. Do you remember when it was, Glenn? 65, I guess. And so I walked over, and here's this man, and he's a seer, and he's kind of, you know, you can be in the spirit and sort of kind of way out, not looking too normal. And I walked up to him, and I said, well, you know, when you can shut out everything and the Holy Spirit's ministering to you, you don't need to be looking around and seeing what's going on. And I walked up to him and said, I'd like to be delivered. He said, oh, he's going to come alive. He said, well, how do you know I prayed deliverance? I said, I heard that man talking about you last Saturday at Clifton's Cafeteria at the Full Gospel Businessman's Breakfast. He said, oh. I said, now, I don't want to be prayed for here in this lobby. I want to go up to our room, but I'll have to find my husband. I have enough sense to know that you don't go away with a strange man to your hotel room, and no woman should be ministering to a man without her husband or another person around. That's just good common sense, and we have, the man had taught us that, said that many times women will jerk off all their clothes if a minister is by themselves. That's a trick of the devil, so be careful about that. Don't be too overzealous, I guess is the word.
Since then, you've prayed for a lot of people in the lobby.
Yeah, everywhere. Well, yes, because, you know, when you start losing your pride, you can handle. One time I was walking down the aisle here, and this whole place was full, and I was calling out spirits, and they were calling out spirits up here, and I saw this boy kind of quivering, and he had a long beard and long hair, and I put my hand on his forehead, and I said, come out in the name of Jesus. And he upchucked and went down my leg and in my shoe, and I didn't have my paper towels. Now I usually have my paper towels under my arm. Well, that's good for you. That takes you down a little bit. That's good. So, I saw this older lady. I thought she was old then because I was a lot younger. She's probably not. She wasn't probably as old as I am now, but I thought she was old. And I said, Gertrude, would you go up to my room? This man's going to pray deliverance. I've got a bad headache. And she said, oh, yes, honey, oh, yes. And she lived in the Los Angeles area in the San Fernando Valley near us. And so we started toward the elevator. And just as we got there, the door opened and Glenn come off. And I said, Glenn, come with me. This man's going to pray deliverance up in our room. So we went up there, and instead of him praying for me, who was the sick one and was wanting it, he said to this lady, I'm going to pray for you first now. And so he said I thought, oh, I'm the one that wants it. And he started, he can see in the spirit, and I wish we could get him back here. He's so old now, he doesn't travel much. He looked at this lady's head and mind, and he says, your mind is clear as a bell. Like as if you're 15 years old, and your heart, the thing is your heart, your arteries clear, everything's clear. But he said, looked at her stomach, fine. He said, you got a spot on your liver, and it has a name. There's a demon sitting right there, a little spirit sitting right on your liver. And he says, it has a name. Now, it's been there 13 years. See, the Holy Spirit, this is a gift of the Spirit in operation. We're in knowledge and seeing in the Spirit. And he said, it has a name. Would you like to know its name? She said, oh, yes, I would. And he said, you may not like me after I tell you. She said, no, go ahead. And she started to cry because her doctor and her were the only ones that knew she had anything. She had one son, no husband. He's dead.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.